WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's day 99 in office for President Trump, and ABC News' Washington Post poll finds his 100-day approval rating at 39%, the lowest at this point of any president in 80 years. A core concern? The economy, says ABC's Selena Wang.
Trump's promises to boost the economy and lower prices were key to his election victory. But 72% now say they think it's very or somewhat likely that Trump's economic policies will cause a recession. 73% say the economy is in bad shape, and more than half say it's gotten worse since Trump took office.
One person was killed after a large boat crashed into a ferry with 45 people on board off Florida's Gulf Coast in Clearwater. 30-year-old man facing murder charges for driving a vehicle through a Filipino cultural festival in Vancouver Saturday. 11 people were killed. Today, Canada votes to choose its next prime minister. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Demi Moore says aging is a gift and very different from being old. The Hollywood Reporter says the Substance actress says she prefers her current age to being 21, saying as good as 21 may sound, it was torture. The Oscar-nominated actress praised Oscar winner Anora's Mikey Madison, saying she gave a phenomenal performance. She also says that she has much more work to do and would love to be back on the Oscar stage. Also from The Hollywood Reporter, and speaking of substance, Margaret Qualley has a new comedy that she's just learned will hit theaters this summer. Focus Features' Honey Don't also stars Aubrey Plaza and Chris Evans and is directed by Ethan Coen. Qualley plays a small-town private investigator who looks into the deaths at a church. Honey Don't will hit theaters August 22nd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another injury for Damian Lillard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Damian Lillard going in for an MRI today. The Associated Press reporting there's concern he suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the Bucks' 129-103 loss to the Pacers last night in Milwaukee. Head coach Doc Rivers.
They're going to do an image. Obviously, his lower leg. And just being honest, it's not very promising.
Game 5 tomorrow night in Indy. The Pacers now lead 3-1. Baseball, the Brewers have the night off after beating the Cards in St. Louis 7-1 yesterday. NFL, the Packers picked up 8 players during the draft in Green Bay over the weekend. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst if he thought about trading for some more.
I would have loved to acquire more picks, whether that was this year or next year, and we really didn't accomplish that. But it was really pretty quiet today as far as that went. We had 8 picks, feel really good about those guys. And then some of the guys that we're signing right now, I feel pretty good about too.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices. And with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Civic Media. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be a warm day today with scattered thunderstorms likely, and some of those storms could be severe with the potential for large hail, damaging straight-line wind, and even tornadoes, especially late this afternoon through much of this evening. Stay weather aware today. Be prepared. We will have the very latest as things develop. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulsiewicz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig into Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, hello, warm weather in Wisconsin, and unfortunately, hello, severe weather across the Midwest. Morning, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe PM Yankee here on the Midwest Farm Report. Thank you so much to the rest of the Midwest Farm Report team for stepping up and letting me take a few days off. It was hectic. I'll tell you what, it's almost like coming back to work is where I get an opportunity to rest up. Part of the story you'll hear this morning, the NFL draft in Green Bay. It was a focal point for a lot of the state of Wisconsin, and that included Wisconsin's dairy industry. Talking a little bit more about that as the morning unfolds. Let's start where we need to pay attention. That is on the weather. Now, this morning, most of this morning anyhow, supposed to be fairly manageable. You are going to notice a definitive change in temperatures. Daytime highs today expected to be 79, maybe even 80 degrees. But with that warmth, brings an enhanced chance of severe weather around the Midwest. Starting at about 1 o'clock, we've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms starting to move across Wisconsin, and then more of that severe weather, possibly after 4 p.m. Like I said, today, it's going to hit 79, 80 degrees in Wisconsin, and winds are going to be noticeable as well out of the south, 15 to 20 miles an hour, then increasing to 25 miles an hour this afternoon, some wind gusts as high as 40 miles an hour. Tomorrow, another chance of thunderstorms, probably in the early morning hours, then sunshine the rest of our Tuesday and 62. Wednesday, another chance of showers in the forecast, otherwise highs near 60 degrees. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist brings us weather details in about 15 minutes.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
When it comes to protecting your corn roots from rootworm, Stealth is your best defense. BioStealth is a bioinsecticide that uses cutting-edge microbial technology to create an invisible barrier that hides the corn roots from rootworm while nurturing the beneficial organisms your crops need to survive. Backed by the power of Provider PM, it fortifies your plants and strengthens root systems for healthier, more resilient crops. Learn more at newfieldsag.com. BioStealth with Provider PM from Newfields Ag. Innovation in your fields.
Just like in this country, Australian cattle producers and landowners are enjoying pretty good times right now. I'm Bob Bosol from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, and while on a recent farm tour in Australia and New Zealand, we visited the Tamworth Livestock Sale Barn and visited with auctioneer, cattle producer, and land speculator Daniel McCullough. We asked him which ag enterprise is doing the best right now in the land down under.
Cattle probably at the moment. Like, land has been good. Like, we've seen a substantial rise in land values over the last 2 to 3 years with a lot of land values sort of doubling in price. That's slowed up a bit now. Transactions have slowed. But, yeah, we're in a very, very good space, very positive space. Like, there has been a lot of negativity over the last few years. But at the moment, we're looking down there. It's looking very bright.
Those land values going up because the cattle market is good, or what's contributing to increased land values?
Definitely the low interest rates. Like, it was the most contributing factor for sure. Like, it was we had high commodity prices and we had low interest rates. So therefore, you know, I say Australian farmers may not be too dissimilar to yours. Have got two They got two aims in life, and one's not to pay tax, and the other's to get bigger. So when we come through that low interest rate and high commodity price, people said, "Righto, it's time to expand." So everybody has gone to the market to expand, and therefore supply and demand has increased. The value of land.
Demand outstripping the supply, or where are we at? Is that driving those prices up? And where are land prices right about now here in this East Coast?
Yeah, so basically there's more people probably wanting to sell than buy at the moment because the interest rates have increased from 2% to 6%. So basically we're in Tamworth, New South Wales, which is probably 400 kilometres northwest of Sydney, sorry. We're seeing land prices rent here anywhere between $4,000 and $6,000 per acre.
Who's buying it? Local farmers? Or are there foreign investors? And what's the process to go through here as far as working with the loan officers at the banks, private investment firms? How's this all work?
Yeah, so the larger family farms are probably the people most active in the market. There's still corporate money flowing down, but it is harder to see a return on land at the moment with interest rates the way it is. So that corporate and institutional money has slowed. If you go to market with a property and there's neighbouring interest, like the neighbouring wanted to expand, it's not easy because that neighbour now is wanting to buy it for a discounted price. I believe we've probably come off 10 to 20% since the high in land values. But basically in Australia, a lot of the land is either freehold or leasehold.
Explain the difference.
So basically a freehold is where you actually own the land. And a leasehold is where the government owns the land and you lease it off them on a perpetual lease, and you'll pay an annual fee to lease that land. It's a form of ownership. Freehold is the best form of ownership.
If you have this government land and you have this lease 30 years, can you have to walk away from it? Can you get any value by giving that lease back to the government?
There's different types, but the most common is called a perpetual rolling lease. So it'll be a 100-year lease, and it will be reinstated after 100 years. You know what I mean? So it's like ownership, but it's not. But there has been over the last 30 to 40 years, like you can transfer that leasehold land for a fee to the government. You can transfer that leasehold land into freehold land.
Most of this land still owned by Australians. We are finding foreign interest, be it from China or oil world, the Middle East?
Yeah, definitely. I encourage foreign ownership and corporate institutional ownership because they want to spend money. They want to do up their asset. They want to get they see the capital gain piece, whereas a traditional farmer, he won't go to the local produce store and spend money. He won't go and sponsor the local football team. He won't go and buy a dress from the shop. You know what I mean? Like the bigger people with more money come to communities and they keep that community going. They keep that alive. They employ people. Like a traditional farmer won't employ anybody. So it's all about everybody making a quid. There is certainly a process to go through if you want to be a foreign owner of land in Australia. Though. Like it's got to go through what we call the FIRB, Foreign Investment Review Board. That is there's a very stringent process that not anybody can own land in Australia. You've got to go through a process to get it.
Well, this land along the coast is greening it into big desert Australia. But along the coast, it's good land. It's green around here. Is it good for cropping? Is it just good for raising cattle? What all do you do?
So we're probably a mixed farming operation around here. So basically, we're not affected by the coastal rainfall. So there's a big mountain range in Australia called the Great Dividing Range. So they get coastal rainfall. Inland of that, which where we are, we get the weather systems from the winter lows that come across from Western Australia and the tropical cyclones in the summer. So we're in a pretty safe area of Australia on about a 750 annual millimetre per year. So the main income streams for people are cropping, beef cattle and sheep around where we are.
Now you've got something to, you call it DSC. What is that and how does that figure out as far as the quality of the land and the ability of this land?
Yeah, so DSC, it's a dry sheep equivalent. That's how Australia talks about how many stock per acre they can run on their land. So different land classes. So basically they will have a DSE rating. It is a subjective management measurement, not an objective measurement in the sense that you can supplementary feed, you can sow crops, you can fertilise to change that DSE rating on your land. But there's so many different ways to measure it, but it is probably the most standard and universal that everybody talks and understands. So a DSE is a 45 kilo merino weather sheep. on a maintenance ration, and we talk about DSE rating per acre in the sense that how many DSE, how many dry sheep you can run per acre of land in Australia.
How does that translate to cattle?
So basically it's all on body weight. So a rough rule of thumb is 1 to 10. So a 50-kilo sheep will be a 500-kilo cow. So we will say that land will run 1 DSE per acre, and a cow will be 15 DSE. So there's all different calculations. The argument to that is the size of the cow. So basically you can have a cow ranging from 450 kilos to 650 kilo. Obviously the 650 kilo cow eats a lot more grass than the 450 kilo cow. So there is argument against it, but it's just the more common and go-to method for measuring how many stock we can run per acre.
And it's not feedlot area around here, but you don't have a lot of corn. It's mostly all pasture finished.
And feedlotting industry is very big in Australia, and it definitely underpins the market. You'll see if you studied the sheep and lamb industry, it isn't underpinned by a feedlot industry. Therefore, we see the highs and lows and more vulnerable markets due to feed. Grain ration is like a barley and wheat is big. We don't see so much corn ration in Australia.
One thing we saw when we were traveling through here, some beautiful stands of alfalfa, which you call lucerne here. You graze it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. King of fodders, we call it. It's very good in a dryland operation. It could even go into a pasture mix or a pasture blend. So there'll be lucerne, phalaris, coxfoot, clovers, and that'll give us, why people sow that on a grazing system, it'll give us year-round feed.
What about the soil? Do you have to lime? Is this an acid soil, alkaline soil? What kind of a ground have you got to work with?
So potash is probably the most common. There's a phosphate, a single super. Mm-hmm. We apply nitrogen through sulfate of ammonia at different times of year and different cropping systems. But yeah, basically it's a red chocolate and basalt based soil. You do run into some granite and trap soils, but yeah, very, very high quality soils through this part of Australia.
That's Australian cattleman, land broker, and champion auctioneer Daniel McCulloch, who said that by far and away the Angus breed dominates the beef cattle herd in Australia, with the little Brahman when the weather gets too hot. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, with a little bit on agriculture and our visit to Australia, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is running to head up the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Joe Zepecki joins us. Also, Will Westmoreland. His YouTube channel is The Back 40. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Day is post-draft. I can't imagine trying to shelter 600,000 people anywhere in the state. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And in the Green Bay area, we're be a little limited for that number of people to have to put them somewhere in case real severe weather. Yeah, that's all behind us. Things are a little quieter people-wise, but we are going to see a little more active weather here to get this new week underway. Low pressure over in South Dakota this morning. It's got a warm front just pulling up toward western parts of Iowa and Missouri this morning. And right around that boundary, really no rain at that warm front, but it is further north. There are showers and could be some rumbles of thunder up into the Stevens Point to Wausau area further north. Certainly Tomahawk back to Park Falls, and there's more rainfall in northern and eastern South Dakota, southern North Dakota, as that low moves east and a bit northeast today. I expect it ends up just east of Lake Superior by this time tomorrow. We're going to talk about activity, showers, thunderstorms, some indication of what could become more severe weather has been kind of circled in northeast Iowa, southeast Minnesota, into western Wisconsin. What I've been seeing this morning were areas of heavier rain or more severe weather, you know, hail or maybe even a tornado, just a small chance, but that may be just west of I-39. I mean, I'm looking up towards Stevens Point, Wausau, and Marshfield, and back toward Eau Claire and down toward La Crosse and into southeast Minnesota. That might be the area to watch today. Nonetheless, even further north and east, there will be showers and could be some thunderstorms. And there will be rainfall that really adds up and maybe makes it a little too wet in terms of field work in the next day or so. Sure, we do dry it out a little bit later Tuesday, but already by later Wednesday into Wednesday night, another round of showers redevelops, and some of that rain chance may last toward Friday. Does it ever dry out this week? Maybe as we look toward the weekend, I'd say late Friday into Saturday and Sunday, drier, more mild. By that time, May weather is going to settle in. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer a competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast then.
All right, well, let's talk today about the fact that clouds will build on in. Maybe not so cloudy early, but there will be more clouds. Clouds, of course, already in the north with rain, showers, even an isolated storm in the north this morning, and developing then later today as we head toward midday and afternoon elsewhere. Now, I'm still expecting those temperatures in the lower 70s in the north, upper 70s in the south. Certainly a very mild day. That's where you start to worry about that severe weather threat. And winds today out of the south will be increasing a good 10 to 20, gusting to 40. Overnight, the clouds, the showers, thunderstorms, and I'd expect nighttime lows only falling back toward the low 50s. Could be a very low 40 in the far northwest part of the state. And the wind's still strong. South winds gusting to 30 and 40. By Tuesday, rain ending, sky is starting to clear out a bit. Cooler, no doubt. In fact, some falling temps back toward the lower 50s, maybe a 60 in the south on Tuesday. And Wednesday, Pam, some rain later in the day again, maybe back up to 60 in the upper 50s in the north. I'd say rainfall-wise, Pam, western Wisconsin, easily up into that quarter to half or three-quarter inch range. The further east you are in the state, you know, maybe a quarter to half inch.
All right. Well, we'll see what our rainfall reporters have to say about that. Thanks, Stu. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
You bet. Have a good day.
Stumacher Ag Meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Compure Financial is your financial partner. Committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compure.com for more. And don't forget, I do rely on you to let me know what kind of weather you're receiving. Everybody in Wisconsin getting a little bit something different. That talk text line is always open to you. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. I know some of you already telling me that you've been out doing a little tillage work and planning on getting back after it again this morning before, as soon as the sun rises, before that rain moves in. Keep me up to speed on what's happening in your neighborhood. Again, the talk text line is there and ready for you.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans.
Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wbzh.fm/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's day 99 in office for President Trump. An ABC News Washington Post poll finds his 100-day approval rating at 39%, the lowest at this point of any president in 80 years. A core concern? The economy, says ABC's Selena Wang.
Trump's promises to boost the economy and lower prices were key to his election victory. But 72% now say they think it's very or somewhat likely that Trump's economic policies will cause a recession. 73% say the economy is in bad shape, and more than half say it's gotten worse since Trump took office.
One person was killed after a large boat crashed into a ferry with 45 people on board off Florida's Gulf Coast in Clearwater. 30-year-old man facing murder charges for driving a vehicle through a Filipino cultural festival in Vancouver Saturday. 11 people were killed. Today, Canada votes to choose its next prime minister. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Two Hollywood movers and shakers are about to get even busier as they team up for a new psychological thriller. American Hostage is a new series from MGM Plus and will star John Hamm, and Sean Ryan will executive produce. The show is set in the 70s and follows Hamm's character, who is a reporter forced to interview a hostage taker in the middle of a crisis. Hamm is currently starring in Your Friends and Neighbors, and Ryan recently executive produced and wrote The Night Agent. Pamela Anderson's recent film, The Last Showgirl, brought her critical praise and some Oscar buzz, but it did not result in a nomination. Not sure if it's a snub or not, but according to the New York Post, it motivated the Baywatch actress to retaliate by moving to Massachusetts to do theater. Anderson will star in Tennessee Williams' Camino Real this coming summer. Anderson made her Broadway debut in Chicago in 2022. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another injury for Damian Lillard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Damian Lillard going in for an MRI today. The Associated Press reporting there's concern he suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the Bucks' 129-103 loss to the Pacers last night in Milwaukee. Head coach Doc Rivers.
They're going to do an image. Obviously, his lower leg. And just being honest, it's not very promising.
Game 5 tomorrow night in Indy. The Pacers now lead 3-1. Baseball, the Brewers have the night off after beating the Cards in St. Louis 7-1 yesterday. NFL, the Packers picked up 8 players during the draft in Green Bay over the weekend. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst if he thought about trading for some more.
I would have loved to acquire more picks, whether that was this year or next year, and we really didn't accomplish that. But it was really pretty quiet today as far as that went. I mean, we had 8 picks. Feel really good about those guys. And then some of the guys that we're signing right now, I feel pretty good about too.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst with sports on Mike Clemens.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the entire draft for the Green Bay Packers and also major things ahead for Congress, including the future of Medicaid. Your calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be a warm day today with scattered thunderstorms likely, and some of those storms could be severe with the potential for large hail, damaging straight-line wind, and even tornadoes, especially late this afternoon through much of this evening. Stay weather aware today. Be prepared. We will have the very latest as things develop. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Donald Trump launched a cryptocurrency meme coin with his likeness on January 17th, just before Inauguration Day. April 21st, with its value plummeting, the company offered top buyers of the coin a dinner with Trump and a personal tour of the White House. That likely violates the Emoluments Clause. The website for the meme coin loudly promotes a dinner with Trump at his Washington Golf Club for the top 220 owners of the coin, and for the top 25 owners, an exclusive reception and special VIP tour. But as of April 24th, any reference to touring the White House was scrubbed from the site. With the value having fallen from $74 to a low of $7.66 on April 17th, the price jumped after the announcement to $14.54 on April 23rd. But it's not the price of the coin that should worry Americans, but that corporations, special interests, or foreign governments could exploit the offer as an opportunity to channel money to the notoriously transactional Trump in exchange for access and favors. Jordan Leibowitz of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington told Mother Jones magazine, "This is about as unethical as you can get, essentially selling off access to the president," unquote. We have a pre-scrubbing graphic and more on the Emoluments Clause at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital.
They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
With the Vikings and the Lions and the Rams.
Hey, the talk text line is open for you on a Monday morning. Remember, that is your clear line of communication with us. I see Stephanie Hoff was chatting with folks last week about their century sesquicentennial honors coming up this August at the Wisconsin State Fair. Remember, the Midwest Farm Report would love to gather your story on your century or sesquicentennial farm. If you're one of the honorees that's going to be recognized this August and want to share your story, not just with us, but with our entire audience, use that talk text line to get connected with us. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. I know you weather reporters are also going to be using that talk text line in the next 24 hours time. I did see some Wisconsin farmers that were already doing a little field work. Unfortunately, with the weather we're looking at, that might come to a stop for at least a few days. So today is the 28th day of April. Let's see, what can I tell you? Some happy birthdays for you on a Monday. Happy birthday to actress Jessica Alba, 44 years young today. Actress Penelope Cruz, she is 51. And actor-comedian Jay Leno turned 75 today. And now you know. It should come as no surprise that one of the key relationships that farmers depend on is that relationship with their ag lender. Now, looking at world tensions impacting commodity prices and a changing dynamic in Wisconsin agriculture involving generational decisions mean that ag lenders have to maybe change a little bit how they think about that relationship with the farm. It may take a little training, as we hear from Charity Seebecker.
In today's fast-paced world, understanding how different generations think, communicate, and make decisions isn't just helpful, it's essential. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Jack Kasel of the Anthony Cole Training Group says that for ag bankers working with farm families across multiple age groups, connecting effectively can be the key to building trust, navigating transitions, and helping operations thrive for the long haul.
What we need to do is just make sure that we're communicating in the style that they want to be communicated in. And there are some generational differences. The baby boomers think and look different than the Gen Xers, all right? The bottom line is they're human beings. And if we have a better way of adapting our style to them, then they're going to be a better source of communication. And so it's not like trying to force them to do it our way. We need to adapt and force it and do it their way.
And what are some of the trends you're seeing of key buying habits in those specific sectors?
Right. It's lately with the millennials and the Gen Zs, they're more of a, they're more of a watching videos and seeing things as opposed to reading things. The boomers, they want to read stuff. They want to be face-to-face. But the Gen Xers, Gen Zs, they want to communicate via text. Remember back in the day when texting was like 140 characters? Now they're, you know, we can do more in texting, but that's what they want to do. They don't call me, send me a text.
And so are you seeing differences then in how some of these younger farmers versus maybe the more experienced farmers, I would say, you know, how they view risk or financial planning? What are you seeing there?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because the newer folks, everybody thinks, okay, nothing's going to happen to me, it's going to happen to somebody else. And so risk is not that big of a thing to them because it's never going to happen to them. And what we need to do is, when we're having communication with these people, is just make sure that we're telling things that they need to hear and not what they want to hear. And like I said, the older group you're working with, they're going to be more open to succession planning and transition. The younger folks think they have another 40, 50 years to do this. And there's no such thing as starting your succession planning too soon.
And what are some of the digital tools or platforms that you see younger generations preferring when it comes to these conversations or these difficult financial decisions?
Right. It's mostly the things you're seeing out there right now, TikTok and Instagram and those type of things. They're kind of the X, I guess it's called now, versus what it was called. And so the other thing is really starting to see a lot of things moving toward video prospecting. So that's how people get their information, more passively than being active and going out and looking for it. They're more passive receptors. So if we make it simple for them to get our message, that's what we have to do.
What are some of the common mistakes that you see ag bankers making when they're trying to now start those conversations with the next generation of our farm leaders?
Right. We try to get into pitch mode way too soon. All right. We're talking about things that may or may not resonate. So regardless of generation, if I come across as a pushy banker and it's not going to resonate, I don't care if you're a boomer or a Gen Zer, we simply have to ask questions to make them think. Because people can ignore the ag banker, but they can't ignore their own thoughts. And so if you ask them questions that makes them think about something when you leave, that's when you're starting to have some traction, having some success.
And how can bankers learn kind of speak the language of each generation? I know there's words that I've used growing up that are not cool anymore to use. So how do they, you know, learn to adjust their message without coming off as out of touch or even inauthentic?
Well, that's a great question. And what we need to do is, I mean, there's a bunch of tools out there. You can go online. You can go to YouTube. You can do a bunch of research as far as the generation. I was reading some things and it really broke it down, what's each generation, how they like to be communicated with. And you're right, some of the slang that's very common to some groups, not so much common to anybody else. So again, do I know what's going to resonate with them? Do I know how they like to be communicated and use that style versus my style?
Once again, that's Jack Kasel of the Anthony Cole Training Group along with us. As agriculture continues to evolve, so must the conversations that we have within it. By bridging generational gaps and adapting how we connect, ag bankers and farmers alike can build stronger relationships and a more resilient future, one thoughtful conversation at a time. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
With Clarifly Larvicide, you get more than just a fly control product. You get more support, more expertise, and more control to prevent the emergence of nuisance flies from the manure of treated cattle by as much as 96%. It is perfectly blended in your mineral supplement to become a part of what you are already doing, feeding your cattle. Get control of flies with a comprehensive program built around Clarifly Larvicide and Starbar products. To learn more about Clarifly Larvicide, contact your local feed dealer or visit centralflycontrol.com.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Well, the NFL draft numbers keep coming in and keep impressing the NFL with what Wisconsin and the small community of Green Bay was able to do to put on a fantastic show. You know, Wisconsin Dairy had a major role in sharing their story with all the visitors to the state. Coming up in just a moment, a snippet of a conversation I had with a Fenimore dairy farmer that was one of those trying to share the message of cheese during the draft. Stick around for that. It's up in just a moment. Well, markets are not up in overnight electronic trade this morning, and we're learning more about retaliatory tariffs taking a toll on available markets. Trump administration suggested last week that there would be a de-escalation of trade tensions between the United States and China. But so far, neither side has blinked. China is now imposing retaliatory duties in response to U.S. reciprocal tariffs. Right now, China effectively put a duty rate on U.S. pork and pork variety meat at 172%. U.S. beef and beef variety meats now being tariffed at 147%. John Harreth with the U.S. Meat Export Federation says that's effectively shut off those markets.
Retaliatory tariffs and other trade barriers have effectively halted U.S. beef and pork exports to China. Aaron Bohr, U.S. Meat Export Federation Vice President for Economic Analysis, explains that the impact is being felt throughout the red meat industry.
There's a mad scramble to try to, essentially find new homes for this product that is in the pipeline that was produced for China. And remember that for China, we have special China labeling. It's ractopamine-free product with a China label both on the bag and the box. So it's costly production specific for China and thus difficult to, reroute or find a new home for this product.
While USMEF has been working to diversify the global market, China has a unique position for red meat demand.
They buy specific items at premiums that other markets are unwilling to pay, certainly at the volume and at the price that China takes. So on the beef side, they are a top customer for short plate, short rib, chuck short rib, rib finger, tiger tail, honeycomb, very China-specific products. Without that China bid, we're looking at $150 to $165 per head industry loss, and added up over a year, that would be about a $4 billion lost opportunity on the beef side. And for pork, again, China's the number three market. And for variety meats, China's still our dominant customer. They are by far the largest buyer of pork feet, head items, stomachs, intestines. And they are taking tremendous volume at higher prices than any other customer can pay. And so without China on the pork side, we estimate the losses of about $8 to $10 per head spread across that total industry for the year is about $1 billion loss.
For more, please visit USMEF.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm John Harreth.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it. So again, U.S. pork and pork variety meats now being taxed at a rate of 172%. U.S. beef and beef variety meats at 147% within China's borders. Markets in overnight electronic trade not looking exceptionally healthy on a Monday morning, and that includes the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently under some pressure. The May corn's down a nickel right now. December new crop also down a nickel at 451. May soybeans are down a nickel. November new crop down 7.5 at 1027. The wheat for July, that's down 8.5 right now, 536 a bushel. On Friday, the barrel cheese gained a penny and a half, 170.5. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 170. Double A butter dropped 4.5 cents on Friday to 228 a pound. This morning, the May Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down a penny at 1826. The June milk contracts closed 9 cents lower, 1708 a hundredweight. The dairy industry got a chance to be showcased during last week's NFL draft in Green Bay, and it started on Wednesday evening with the NFL's Taste of the Draft. First time that they've ever offered this feature during the draft. And boy, I'll tell you, it was a resounding success. Hosted by Gen Youth, a nonprofit founded by American dairy farmers and the NFL, one of our Wisconsin dairy representatives showcased not only Wisconsin cheese, but her cheese carving talents. Talking with Vicki Janisch about that skill, that experience, next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone.
If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Civic Media. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Includes a gal named Vicki Janish. Vicki is a previous staff member for Agra Ability, where she helped farm families that were impacted by physical challenges. Then she was at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, spreading the word of Wisconsin dairy. And now she's literally spreading the word about Wisconsin dairy in the form of art. She is a cheese carver that was a focal point at last week's NFL Taste of the Draft in Green Bay. Vicki was the star, showing everybody how she carves Wisconsin cheese into works of art. How did she get there? She explains.
I think it was just leaning in and saying yes to an opportunity that was never on my 2025 bingo card.
Yeah.
The fact that I was introduced to cheese carving from a well-known Sarah Kaufman, the cheese lady, and then got hooked. So I've only been doing it for a couple years and getting an opportunity to carve amazing Wisconsin cheese.
Now, you wanted to be prepared, and you also have to think about logistics. When did Vicki start putting her plan together?
Well, there's no blueprints to the Lombardi Trophy, and I can't just break into Lambeau, right, and check out a trophy and get my measurements. So there was a lot of research done, a lot of sketching, a lot of trial and error to get me to where I am today, and then carving live for everyone in attendance today, too.
Yeah. Now, what is that carving live? I mean, is there a certain cheese that lends itself better? Is there something about temperature today? For the Taste of the Draft, it's amazingly warm in Wisconsin, for example.
Right. I love carving anything, really. I haven't met a cheese I didn't like yet, but cheddar works really well, and the opportunities to carve is, there's a lot of great cheese here, but it's got to be aged at least a year and not too far out, so that way we don't have that crumbly, crystallized cheddar texture.
And now you start in front of the crowd, you'll finish in front of the crowd, right?
Right. My goal is to be done before the group leaves so they can see the finished product. But I get a little distracted because I get to share the dairy story with everybody in attendance and make those connections.
Now, tell me about the people you've met. Now, we're chatting early in the evening, but I met somebody that wanted to park in my driveway from Portugal.
I have met people from out of state. I've even met some dairy farmers today and processors, so I've seen the gamut. I've gotten to talk with everyone and share the dairy story, that great quality milk comes that makes the award-winning cheese here in Wisconsin.
And it how many pieces are you going to do? You keep focusing in on the Lombardi Trophy. How many pieces did they ask of you? How many pieces did you prepare in advance?
So it started out with just the Lombardi Trophy and prepared in advance. I did some media this morning and then having it here, of course, for the event. And then it turned into, hey, what are you doing for the draft? Do you want to come up and do you want to talk to people that are in attendance and carve live? And so I was able to get another 40-pound block from Tony and his team, the amazing cheesemakers down there in Mineral Point, to let me enjoy cheese all night.
And we did enjoy cheese all night. That's Vicki Janish, a professional cheese carver, headlining the NFL's Taste of the Draft. If you want to follow Vicki or see some of her work, you can find it on Instagram under Artistic Agriculturalist. Way to go, Vicki. You can also hear more from Vicki on our podcast. Go to MidwestFarmReport.com, and you'll be finding it there a little bit later this morning. Tomorrow morning, John Heinberg, market advisor out of West Bend. Hope you'll join us.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans.
Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
A corn-based alternative for making stretchy plastics. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The Bureau of Labor Statistics lists 417 fatal injuries in 2022 in the category of agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting. About three-fourths of those involve crop and animal production. Farming is one dangerous occupation. Food for thought. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Turns out you can use a corn-based sugar instead of a petrochemical to make stretch fabrics. U.S.-based Cargill is partnering with a German company, and their joint venture, named Core, has built a plant in southeast Iowa to produce a green version of 1,4-butanediol. Core CEO John Veldhaus.
Long-term vision would definitely be to add value and have a significant impact on commodity. But we also are working very closely with the farmers and connecting the entire value chain so that a brand owner can, like Lululemon, for example, that makes yoga pants or stretch athleisure wear. It gives us an opportunity to highlight them with the local farmers and then also hopefully drive continued value-added agriculture for corn in general, but definitely on the local basis as well.
Veldhaus says production should start about a year from now.
And the hope is that it's very clear that this is derived from corn and consumers will have that choice to contribute to a more sustainable future.
There's a link to more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Tom Paulswitz joins me in the guest host seat. We dig in to Judge Hannah Dugan's arrest. What is going on here?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide. bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it. That is below the dignity of your station, man.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know, as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. You know what's below the dignity of your station? Being a jerk while someone is raising valid concerns about the jerk move that you're about to make.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Coast Guard says one person was killed and 12 people were transported to hospitals. They were on a ferry with 45 people on board that was struck by another boat off Clearwater, Florida.
We were just enjoying the ride, and all of a sudden we hear the first mate yelling, hey, 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 and then we look back behind us, and this big yacht just came through the boat.
That other boat left the scene. Congress returns from recess today. Republicans say a focus will be on a budget bill. One goal is to make President Trump's 2017 tax cuts permanent. Economic worries, though, weighing on the president's approval rating through 100 days. More than 70% of people in an ABC News Washington Post poll believe a recession is at least somewhat likely. President not on the ballot, but his comments about Canada have played a major role in today's national elections to choose a new prime minister. And police in Rome say 70,000 people visited Pope Francis's final resting place yesterday. This is ABC News.